Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Voices of Women radio show, and I am your host, Chris Stanis. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, and we have been holding conferences in the Seattle area for, we're on our 27th year coming up this February. Our mission is to empower the feminine dreams and spirit within all of us. At the conference, we have authentic, intimate, transformative, and healing experiences where we share our stories, witness each other, and transform our personal and collective consciousness. Our theme, this conference that's being held at North Seattle College on February 15th through the 17th, is Spark Our Creative Fire, Dance in Power and Beauty. So you can attend 1 or 2 days. Where you can experience in-depth workshops on in the topics of creative art, spirituality, body, mind, spirit, healing, movement, manifestation, and so much more. So we invite you to join us and be witnessed, valued, and inspired. Check out the schedule at womenofwisdom.org. And I invite you to join us for our conference. It's going to be fabulous. So check out also our Women of Wisdom book. It's an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And you can look at that at our website as well, and, of course, available at Amazon. And today I am interviewing Karen Joy Fletcher. She is giving a workshop on Saturday, February 16th at our conference. The title is The Power of Play and the Wonder of Wandering. Karen Joy Fletcher is an anthropologist, writer, and Qigong instructor, who loves sharing her passions of Qigong, outdoor play, and wilderness connection with people around the world. She is a personal student of the Qigong Grandmaster Zhu Mingtang, having trained with him at the Shaolin Monastery in China and traveled with him worldwide. And also note, she speaks Chinese. Inspired from extensive training with Mick, the Barefoot Sensei Dodge, she offers Qigong and earth-based movement programs, including the Omega Institute in New York. Karen also leads Qigong, tea, and nature retreat trips in Western China. So you can read about her and find out more at her website, KarenJoyFletcher.com. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Chris.
I'm so glad to have you today and have you at the conference again. You're a repeat favorite presenter.
Thanks, Chris. I'm thrilled to be back. And as always, such a fabulous weekend with so much creative energy and inspiration for everyone.
That's true. Well, I'm going to start with you telling your story, how you became passionate about nature, traveling, wilderness, Qigong, all that. Where did this all begin?
Wow. Well, there's many roots to it all, I guess. If I go back to the very beginning, you know, I did grow up in the countryside of Massachusetts. I'm a twin sister, and we loved playing outside in our woods and using our imaginations. I remember in particular loving to just go in the woods and just be in awe of the beauty and wonder. And one of my memories as a very little girl is finding a pink lady slipper flower. Those of you who know what they are, they just kind of appear out of nowhere. And they do look like a pink lady slipper. And they're just very mysterious and magical. And with growing up in the countryside and our imaginations being in full gear all the time, I think that really set me up for remembering this as a tool in my adult years of loving the outdoors, loving nature, and loving movement. I could go on, Chris, in terms of, you know, when certain time periods of my life that I turned to these other tools that are now a foundation of my life, such as Qigong and Earth Gym and outdoor adventure. But my roots are really in my childhood and having so much free play outside in the woods.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know, that's so important. I heard someone talk about a new book that it was people who were, they were preschool teachers, and about the importance of play for kids and not at that age, at preschool age, and to not, that they have to be learning writing and reading and all that, that they need to play. And so much is learned in play. You know, and that's what your whole workshop's about. So let's talk about, why are you doing a workshop on play, and why is that important?
Awesome. Yes, well, I love play, obviously. I'm teaching a workshop on it. And those of you who know me that are listening, and Chris knows me, one of my favorite words is yay. And yay rhymes with play. And yay is this exuberance that we can see and feel and outside in nature. It's just this love of life and the living of life that comes through the trees, the plants, and the clouds, the sparkling waters. It's this love of being alive. And play, so why am I so passionate about play? You know, I think from my own personal experience and from what I observed, because part of my life work is getting adults outside playing, is that play is really essential for all living creatures, and which includes human beings of all ages. And I think I come across a lot of adults, you know, myself included, at certain parts of my life, were thinking, oh, well, play is more for kids. You know, that's how what children do, how they learn. But play is for everyone, and science even backs us up now that play is as essential to our well-being as sleep. And as a new mama, I know how important sleep is to my well-being. And how I feel when I don't get enough sleep. And it's similar with if I don't get enough play. And science shows, too, that when people don't get enough play, they tend to be more stressed. They feel more rigid, can kind of have kind of like a lackluster feeling in their lives, and even be anxious and have depression. And part of why play is so important, and I can talk about what I see.
Yes. Well, like. First, though, what does play look like for you?
Awesome. So, for me, right now, as an example, for this interview, it's like, well, I want to go outside because I just feel my freest and most joyful when I'm outside. So, part of my play is first getting outside. And then going to places that are beautiful. So my play often entails one of the topics of my workshop is going on a wonder wander. So it's really like going into my body and sense of wonder and following the threads of, oh, wow, that's beautiful. Or, ooh, look at that tree. Or, oh, my gosh, I want to smell that moss. And just letting myself and my joy lead me and wherever I go. And it's a very body-centered play, so sometimes I'm moving around on the ground over the logs, like as an animal. I do different animal forms. Climbing trees is a really easy way for me to get into that sense of play and wonder. And going into a forest, if there's any trees around or any natural land, exploring it with that sense of wonder, just, I guess I've gone into that state of being so often. That's where I often start with playing. And then I'll often find little earth tools like stones and sticks to move my body with in a playful, I feel that word, it evokes some exuberance, this jolliness or lightheartedness. I'm not in my mind. So it's a very sensory-oriented experience where I'm in my senses and I'm, like, in a way, gathering the light with my body.
Well, I'm sure the audience can hear your joy in your voice. And also, I mean, you live more out in the woods, and so that's easy for you in a way. I mean, you do still have to make a conscious intention to do that. But what about people who live in the city and we're, you know, how we're all so busy and we're working and how do we stop the work to take a moment? I mean, even I would imagine even a moment of play can enhance our lives. How do you share that with people who are, you know, busy city people?
Yes. Well, good question. And I used to live in the city. I lived in Seattle for 9 years and was very much a city person, though I did get out every day through biking. That was my way of commuting. But in terms of, you know, our busy lives, our lives, there's so much drawing us inside on computers, in cars. I would say there's a few tips. One is, I know when I first get up in the morning, and it's not right when I get up because I'm a mama and I have nursing and other things to do as well. But one of my first things I do is I go outside. And even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm outside. I look which directions are the clouds moving today and what are the birds doing? And just even hearing like a robin sing or the jay that squawks in our hemlock tree every morning or the squirrel that's kind of just backward flips. Like I have these threads of connection of trees or birds or the sky that I look at and observe every day. So it's developing a thread of connection to the outside living world. And that in and of itself, I'm showing up, I'm participating. So I may not be playing with a ball, but for me, that evokes that sense of joy, which for me is a sense of play. Another opportunity is in the evening. You know, if someone's had a really busy day, they've also had to commute and be in traffic. Before bedtime, I like to go outside, and we live in the Pacific Northwest, so especially in the winter, I don't always see the moon. But even if I don't see the moon, I often see glowing through the clouds, or I might feel the rain or smell the cold air. And, you know, we have had some clear nights missing the glow of the moon. There's a peacefulness in nighttime starlight and moonlight, even if there's city lights around, that I find very enchanting. And even 5 minutes of connection with the moon and stars and the stories they're sharing just through our presence of witnessing them can be really enlivening. And again, that enliveningness, I feel, it just invokes a sense of play. And one last tip for people, if you have a yard, maybe you have a tree in your yard, or if you live in a condominium, there might be a park next door. I suggest finding some living, I particularly connect with trees, some tree that you feel a connection with. And just even if it's a couple minutes on your way out the door, on the way back home, of saying hello and breathing with that tree, that too just evokes a sense of mystery, of wonder, of aliveness that can spark that playfulness inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you say about like first thing in the morning to go outside. I think so many of us just get on with our lives, you know, the big to-do list. First check email, mm-hmm. Eat breakfast. And I know in the past that if I didn't go get to the gym in the morning, I never made it. And so mm-hmm. it is mm-hmm. putting it on your, you know, maybe the top of your to-do list that, okay, go step into my backyard for 5 minutes. I do it in the summertime. I love to eat outside, have my breakfast, have my lunch out there. And I find in the winter, I look outside and I get out there, getting to my car, and I notice the moon. I mean, it's great to see the moon, but it's often when I'm getting out of my car or going into my car and I'll stop for a second, like, oh, look at the moon. It's so beautiful. And don't take any more time, you know, and you're saying to take the time, pause and really soak it in. And I love walking in nature. And I tell a lot of people, is like, especially if you're stressed out or dealing with issues, to take a walk in nature. And there are places in cities, there's parks, and being with the trees, mm-hmm. I think is so enriching. So I appreciate you talking about that. So what have you seen, because you've been working with this a little bit, and I don't know if you've done other workshops, you're doing this one in February, what do you see happen when mm-hmm. adults play more?
It's so exciting, and it's something I love to watch, because when adults start to play, they become more shiny. And what I mean by shiny is there's this inner glow that starts to just radiate through somebody's being. And this inner glow attracts people, but it also tends to attract opportunities, synchronicities, this kind of like the magic of life. And I also observe that people that start to play more, they start to move their bodies in different ways. They start to have new ideas, and a new level of creativity starts to come through. And, you know, I think the more people play that, this is something I've noticed in my own life too, is that my own sense of purpose, my life feeling like it's flowing, it just becomes more clear. And I think some of this process, what's happening is that people stop taking themselves so seriously when they're playing. But this is important because we're such a mind-based culture and a thinking, analytic-based culture, left-brain culture, that when people stop thinking so much with their brain and taking themselves so seriously, a new mechanism starts to flow through their body, where their mind relaxes, and particularly through outdoor play, this new internal process is triggered that's actually not so new. I think it's more like our innate internal process that we see with little children, this childlike wonder that I observe all the time in my son, Orion. Like any little thing, this little cone from our hemlock trees or little twigs, he is just so excited. And it leads to this childlike wonder that is a pathway of immense learning and growth that we see in children in the early years. And I see this happen in adults as they play. And another cool thing that happens, you know, in my classes, like I've been teaching Earth Gym, which is a very play-based modality in city parks. And undoubtedly, people that aren't in my class, a group of adults running by and climbing trees and have sticks in their hands and doing stone training on the dock, and they're like, whoa, like they look curious, they ask questions, sometimes they join in. But I think seeing other adults play also gives more adults this inner permission of like, oh, like I could do that too. That permission, I think, is really important as adults, because we don't see a lot of adults playing.
And that's true. And also, even if they don't get involved, I'm sure it brings a smile to their face. And we all need a good inner laugh, inner joy of seeing somebody else doing things like that. And sometimes a little like, oh, why can't I do that? And that's that, you know, that voice that kind of stops you. But I'm amazed that you're talking about people climbing trees, because I'm not sure if I would trust myself climbing a tree at my age and worrying about falling and breaking a bone and all that.
Yeah. And, you know, I've in my classes, I have people from ranging in age from teenagers to in their late 60s or early 70s. And even with tree climbing, you know, there's the whole gamut. And if someone, you know, hasn't climbed a tree in a while or is feeling uncertain, just even hugging a tree, or sometimes the low branches, like just there's a way to like actually lay down on a big trunk and just to feel that support from a tree. Often I've seen in adults, it's so transformational. Just even that act of being fully supported by a tree, having their legs off the ground, even if they're only, you know, 5 inches off the ground. But it often will evoke childhood memories and a longing for like, oh, yes, this feels somehow innately really good.
Yes, and I'm thinking, you know, taking this time, like people think, oh, I don't have time for this. My to-do list today is immense. But I find if you take the time, everything gets done when it's supposed to get done. Mm-hmm. And some things don't have to be done today, and it can be put aside to tomorrow, and you make it. I'm finding that late, if I get one thing done a day that's on my to-do list, I feel pretty good, and then I can relax and enjoy the rest of the day and know that everything's going to get done in time. And having that little, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, or whatever, getting out there, taking a walk, and calms the brain, and actually, like you said, more creativity comes. More of those, you know, creative thoughts of and the flow, and that so you go back to work and things just flow easier than the struggle that you kind of do to get, oh, I got, you know, that anxiety of getting things done. You go more into that flow, and then you're enjoying that work too even more. Well, we talked about wonder.
Yeah.
And wonder wanders. I love that. So what are, I think in your description you mentioned something about the roots of this in Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and then I'll just put a note. I have something to add to what we were just talking about, but I'll talk about wonder wanders first. So what are they and their roots in Chinese medicine? So wonder wanders is something we just tend to do, and it's something something I love to do, and so I just kind of coined this term, wonder wander, because I'm really drawn to wonder, and I like to wander. It's a way of moving through the landscape with no particular destination in mind and just holding the intent of following one's sense of wonder, beauty, and enchantment. And so this can take place anywhere. It can take place in the wild. It could take place in my neighborhood. It could take place in a city park. And it can be during the day or at night if you're in a safe place. And the cool thing about Wonder Wanders, too, it does evoke that sense of play, and nobody really needs to know you're doing it. So it can be done very inconspicuously if that's an issue. So this has many benefits. In terms of Chinese medicine, I found this really fascinating, because in Chinese medicine, which is another one of my loves, that there's roots from my own healing path and going through a healing crisis that led me to Qigong and Chinese medicine, that has very much led me to my path of what I'm doing today. And in Chinese medicine, they have lots of different formulas. There's one that's called Xiao Yao Wan, and this literally translates into free and easy wanderer. This formula is for qi, liver, blood, qi stagnation. And when the liver and blood qi stagnate, in terms of Chinese medicine, this can lead to feelings of frustration or restlessness or anxiety. And taking these herbs, it helps to unblock the qi and allow it to flow easily and naturally, which then just gives us that sense of ease and peacefulness and well-being. I'm a wood type in Chinese medicine, and so I tend to, especially in the spring, have these liver, blood, qi stagnation and feel restless and prone to frustration. So I take this formula, but I can also just take a wonder wander, and it has the same effect on the body, just as the name of the herbs, free and easy wanderer. When I just out in nature with no particular destination in mind, my liver qi just loves it. It's like, oh, the freedom to just like, oh, explore that rock or climb over that log or just sit under that tree or follow the sparkling river up the round the bend. That type of just like freedom to flow and follow the magic, that does the same thing as the herbs. So I think that's really cool.
Yes, yeah. And how, because you mentioned, well, your liver gets excited, or how do you know it's your liver talking?
Well, that's just from my framework with working with Chinese medicine for so many years. And it tends to be in the spring, which in Chinese cosmology is the wood element time. And I'm a wood element. So that there's the qi is starting to build in the spring, which we see in the plants, you know, in February and March, the buds are getting bigger and we actually even start to have some greenery then. And so it's like the qi is starting to move, but it's not fully burst forth yet, you know, it still takes a while, but it's building. And if it doesn't flow, it can just cause frustration, which a lot of people have this feeling, and it's where road rage comes from, because the liver qi likes to flow, and when we're in traffic, it doesn't flow, you know, we just like stop, go, stop, go, and that's very aggravating to our flow of liver qi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's also being aware of your body and your body talking to you.
Yeah.
Feeling that tension, feeling the blockage, if it could be said that way.
Right.
And then the answer, get up and move.
Yeah. Yeah. And so earlier, Chris.
Go ahead.
Well, I just thought I could add a little piece to, before we talked about the Wonder Wander, we mentioned about, you know, going outside and playing and that, the creativity and just like how things get done anyways. And we might think we don't have enough time, but actually when we take the time for ourselves, magically, I've noticed I tend to be more productive, or like new ideas burst forth. And I just thought I'd share from your original first question of how I came into this path, of just sharing a little bit more in depth as part of my own path of everybody has their challenges that we go through in life, which actually then turns into strengths or in clarity of a direction. And just to speak to that briefly of how it informed my path with this is, you know, when I was in college, I got quite ill, but it stemmed from I had been anorexic in the past for a number of years, and it was never diagnosed, but it was it cultivated, that way of being in the world cultivated a sense of needing to control everything in my life and wanting to do the right thing and not make mistakes. And so there was this tightness I had in my life, which even though when I was in college, I was eating food and everything and I wasn't concerned about that, but I had internally, I wasn't able to digest. And part of it was that like emotional, spiritual constriction. And so I took a medical leave of absence my first year of college, and that's when I discovered Chinese medicine through a friend. And that's when I got my life back. And it was through that healing process, very much coming back into my own body and learning how to play again. I had been an athlete for many years. I was really good at pushing myself. But to again relearn or re-remember how to come from a place of joy and play, I also say that during that time I got my middle name back, which is Joy. And it was during that time that I found Qigong, and that, this ease of, I began to trust my body again and knowing when my body just needed to relax. And then through relaxing, I found play. And through that, like this new sense of aliveness and participating in the world, I found my new passion. And when I went back to college, it was just this delight of a new way of being. You know, I had plenty of studies to do and things to get done, but they all got done in a more useful, effortless way as I honored my body and playing and being outside as first. Like, those were priorities. Listening to what I needed, really, is a nourishing way of life, of living, and then everything else got done. So that's, again, some of the seeds that have led to this path.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine, I mean, I'm kind of thinking, well, you were lucky to find that at a young age. What about those of us that are older, in our 60s, 70s? How do we start to, you know, because it's a matter of changing habits and changing our mindset. Of what tips mm-hmm. can you give people?
Yes, it is. It's definitely changing habits. And one of my mentors, his words just come into my mind, you know, if I want to change my habit, change my habitat. So getting outside helps me get out of everything I currently, you know, in my thought processes. I can tend to get kind of constricted inside with what I'm thinking or worried about. If I go outside, go for a walk, go for a wander, that can help immensely right away. So one, if people are available in the area, come to my workshop. And this will give some tools. We'll practice the wonder wander. I think having a buddy, you know, if there's somebody else that's on board with your desire to be more lighthearted, to bring more play into one's life, like having a play date, just even using those words of a play date and exploring a new park together. Maybe make a point of, you know, hugging five trees or finding, like, pretending you're a squirrel. And, like, even if you don't, like, crawl into the trees, but, like, oh, if I was a squirrel, what would be the neatest hideout here in this park? And putting on the mindset of being a different animal. Going for, and this could be a fun thing to do with a friend. one of the easiest ways I have of transferring into that more wonder-like play is like, okay, I'm out to gather enchantment, or I'm out to gather beauty. And so I'll go gather, I just follow where I feel beautiful. And see beauty in the trees or in the moss and smell the scents. And it's like I'm in my senses. So the more you can find ways to move over terrains, smell the earth, smell the leaves, smell the moss, follow the path that you are innately feeling like this uplift in your body, and then come back, even if it's only 10 minutes, come back and share with your partner, like, oh, I gathered this and this, and maybe take them to share some of the things you found. That's another way to cultivate it. I think the biggest thing is getting outside each day.
And I know it's like I have this intention, like, okay, I'm going to get out. One more thing, then I'll go, and then the day's gone. It's like, no, you know, you really have to stop that mind, that what they call the monkey mind of just, you know, that chatter that goes in your head, like, you can't do this until you finish something. That's our action-oriented culture. You know, you've got to finish this first. You've got to get your homework done before you can play. You know, we're taught that as little kids.
Right. Yeah. So this is where I feel like having a buddy can be really helpful, because it, you know, it's one thing if I'm like, okay, well, at 1 o'clock I'm going to go out. But if I'm not done, like you said, with my certain project, I might be like, well, okay, 1:30. But if I'm meeting somebody, I will do it. Another thing is a lot of people have dogs, and I think dogs are actually really helpful for people, because they get people outside. And if someone's feeling a little like, oh, I'm not quite sure how to do this wonder wander thing, if they're in an open space, I suggest let your dog off the leash and then follow your dog, because dogs are great at it.
Oh, that's true. Well, I was thinking too, the mindset of thinking we'd look, so some of the things you're describing, like being like a squirrel or hugging a tree, and all that, you know, people are afraid to look foolish. And yet when you allow that play and child nature come forward, it doesn't look as silly as people think. I mean, people would get a chuckle out of it. You think of times that you've seen somebody do something really crazy, it may look crazy, but you're kind of envious, like, oh, well, that looked fun. I could never do that, you know? And yet,
yeah.
we think everybody's looking at us and judging us, and that we look at other people and go, wow, that looks like fun. And so a lot of it is watching our mindset on this. And I agree, you know, setting time with people. I wish people, you know, we're in our busy culture. I mean, sometimes I want to make a date with somebody and it's like, oh, they're available in a month. You know, we've gotten to that. And I would like to be able to call somebody and go, hey, are you available in half an hour? Let's go.
Yes. Oh, one of my good friends, it was, you know, a certain time period of our life, my friend Summer Linnea Howe, we used to be this certain few years before she went to grad school, we did that. We lived close to each other. We both had some flexibility in our schedule, and we'd be like, okay, 3 o'clock, let's meet at this park. We're going to do our barefoot running and swing some sticks. And it was great. And I think these days, you know, with people's schedules, if we're not actually able to meet in person, we do have technology. So we could be like, okay, well, even if I'm, you know, you're in Massachusetts and I'm in Washington, you know, at 3 o'clock your time, 12 o'clock my time, let's go on a wonder wander. And then like, okay, I'm heading out the door. So am I, you know, some sort of accountability, even if it's through texting or like a 2-minute FaceTime, to be like, yeah, I'm really doing it. Are you?
Yeah,
that could be a fun thing.
Right. That's a good thought. And you could, and with our technology, talk to people while you're wandering and share what you're seeing. I mean, there's all sorts of things. So now you did mention, you know, I know though some of the work you do is Earth Gym and Qigong. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is Qigong?
Great.
Those don't know. And Earth Gym. I mean, I don't know if people know about Earth Gym.
Yeah. So I'll start with Earth Gym and then go into Qigong. So Earth Gym is this a term that myself and a group of one of my mentors and some of us have coined. It's a fun and creative way to play and explore and connect and learn from our earth through simple earth tools such as sticks and stones and ropes and trees, and if it's warm enough, our own bare feet. It's really tapping into our old childhood passions of using outdoor play to learn from and discover and explore our earth and to explore life around us. And EarthGym, it's, you know, a lot of our society is based on cerebral learning and things. This is a body, a movement way of learning in our own habitat or in different habitats. And I find with EarthGym, using my body and simple earth tools, the more diverse terrains I immerse myself in, both wild in the mountains and tame my backyard or city parks, and the more diverse and playful ways I move through them, the more I'm going to learn. And it's not a learning, it's just not a cerebral learning. It's a learning through my tissues of my body. And so EarthGym evokes this sense of play, which opens just the act of play, act of using my body on different terrains, using sticks, stones, you know, tools all kids use. It opens up doorways to aliveness and magic and enchantment. And from these states of being, my experience is the earth and all of her immense chi just starts to pour in my body. You know, the chi from the clouds, from the water, the bird songs, the grass, the flowers. It doesn't come into my analyzing mind. It comes through the pores of my body into my biggest musing tool, which is my body. And so that's, in a sense, EarthGym, a way of a playful way of learning from the earth using my body. So that's one thing I do.
Yeah, I have a question about this. If you have an example of doing something like EarthGym and play and wonder and all this, mm-hmm. What new thing has come to your life, you know, concretely, like thoughts of what you're going to do in your life for your next 10 years or your next year or your next month? Anything transformational has come from being in touch with through movement and with your body and the earth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so much. I used to have a lot of anxiety in my body, and through continually coming outside and moving and touching with the earth, it's that has dissipated. But for a concrete example, I mean, there's many. Just a recent one I've shared in a blog post I shared with the WOW blog is just feeling, I went for a wander. I come down to the river. I train with some stones, use some sticks to move my body, open my breathway, stretch in new ways with the landscape. As I started this whole process, I just had a question in my heart of, okay, how can I be of service? How can I move forward in a harmony way? It invokes harmony on our planet in a time of just intense change, grief with seeing the changes in our ecological systems and political turmoil as a new mom. Like, what are my next steps? How do I move forward in a way that's going to bring harmony into my life and into the world? And just like felt that in every cell of my body. And then I let it go. And I just immersed myself by the river. I breathed with the stones as I moved my body. I, again, just kind of let go of the question and immerse myself in my movement, in the elements of the water there, the heat of the stones, the breath moving through my body. And as I started my journey homeward, I came to a spot that I like to sit and just observe, and I just got information. And that's what I often notice is the information, chi is translated as vital life energy, but it's also information. It's also joy. So the earth is constantly teaching. And the more that I just let go of my mind and I use my body, my experience is the earth information just comes in and I can get it directly to my heart and in my tissues. And I received some clear guidance of simplifying, ways to simplify my possessions, just like this is a path that I've been pursuing and just got confirmation. See more ways I can simplify in my life. And that is already bringing harmony and clarity. Continue that. get outside as much as possible, you know, is another thing. It just came clear, boom, four things, because I'm learning from life. I'm learning from, things are changing so fast. I desire to learn as much as I can from the other than human life forms. Be outside, be a part of life, participate, listen. Three, write. Writing is one of the ways I synthesize what I receive from the earth and through my tissues. I don't know, really know it in my head, and then I start writing and it comes out. And the fourth one was love. Love your son, love your family. Love is the way forward. And it just came so clear. It wasn't through I kind of think this or that. It was just, boom, here are your answers. This is what you focus on right now. And that's one example.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And also, I just want to let people know, Karen is a great writer. And if you want to get on her email list, she sends these great posts. She takes people to China and then just writes these wonderful, amazing letters to us when she's in China or wherever you are, you do that. So
yeah.
I imagine people can sign up on your website to receive your newsletter or read your blog. So can you give your website address to everybody?
Yes, my website, it's a new website. It's finally up. It's KarenJoyFletcher.com. I have a lot of blogs on there. And as Chris said, if you go to the bottom, I think pretty much the bottom of each page, you'll see where you can sign up for the newsletter.
Yes, great. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your wisdom and joy today with us.
You're so welcome, Chris. It's such my pleasure to share with you and to talk together and to have the honor of being a part of this year's Women of Wisdom Conference.
Yes, so everybody check out our workshop, The Power of Play and the Wonder of Wandering. It's going to be Saturday, February 16th. So you can sign up for all day Saturday, which includes lunch and dinner, the dinner banquet. And the banquet, we have the guest that I spoke in yesterday's radio show, Sikone Nimanya, and also Naomi Wachira, who's a fabulous singer from Kenya. And so that's included in your day pass for Saturday. And then Sunday we have workshops and, a lunch meal. And you can go to Saturday and Sunday, or just go Saturday, or just go Sunday. So you have your choices. And we have a Friday night event that's a separate ticket, and it's a new musical written by one of our members, Pamela Gerke. It's The Life of Florence Nightingale. It's her 200th birthday in 2019. And so it's a musical written about her life. And I've seen the it wasn't the actual production. It was a reading of it, but they were still singing, and it's fabulous, great music. And so that is going to be Friday night. It's a separate ticket, as I said, and it's also open to men. All these are going to be at North Seattle College. And so check it all out at the womenofwisdom.org website. And we look forward to seeing you in February. So we're going to sign off now. I will be back next week interviewing more Women of Wisdom presenters. And all the, you know, most of them are from the Pacific Northwest. There's a couple from out of state, but we have such a wealth of gifted people here. And it's such a joy to bring them to Women of Wisdom and share them with women who are looking for a community, women who are looking for exploring, they might be in transition, exploring new things in their life and being witnessed and sharing stories with other people, listening to other people's stories. It's a great community. So we hope that you'll join us February 15th through the 17th. Again, just go to womenofwisdom.org. Okay, have a great day, everybody, and we'll be back soon.